Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's good to be back after releasing a couple of bonus episodes, one in which we got to look at some trailers, and the other one in which we did a 5-on-5. You should go back and listen to those if you haven't. But it's good to be back with a film review. And so I'm, my name is Juan, here with Kevin,
We're
and
back, baby.
we like movies. That's I like that. That was very pleasant. It was like it started up as like a slow golf clap, but well done.
The people were happy out there in the audience, hi.
Yeah, they're excited. So yeah, I guess we can jump right in. This was Kevin's pick.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it is a 2016 South Korean film by the name of Train to Busan. Now that I think of it, we should have got the Trick Daddy version.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Trick Daddy version.
Oh, come on, man. Are you
Even
even
though,
from South Florida?
well, first of all, only one of us here has met Trick Daddy and been in his house. That's not you.
Was just coincidence. But to not know that song, it's a crime.
Don't know any of his songs. I only know the one lyric, Trick Little Kids. That's it.
All right. So that's a good song. So yeah, Kevin, before we kind of jump into this, we always start off with a two-part question, which is why did you pick this? And then, tease us with your initial thoughts on the movie.
All right, so I've wanted to watch. I'm a big fan of Korean movies, and I'm not a big fan of horror movies, but I just remember hearing a lot of hype about Train to Busan and how it wasn't exactly your normal, typical like horror survivor movie. And I've wanted to watch it, and I don't know why I haven't. There's times where I'm like, "Ooh, I'm gonna watch it right now," and I haven't. So when we were getting together and we were like, "All right, let's get back to watching movies," I'm like, "This is a movie I really want to watch because I'm generally curious about what sets it apart from The Walking Dead and all these other type of zombie movies that get put out." And that's basically why I wanted to watch it. I want to see what their spin on it was. I thought it was an interesting take with the train based on a manga and all that stuff. So watching it, I don't know if it's because I watched it now as opposed to earlier, but being a father, there were a lot of themes. I felt that this was a lot of themes that was just wrapped up in a zombie movie. But they were exploring more themes about parenthood, about growing and becoming a person of like integrity and character. There was a lot of things that were going on in here, and even creating like a bad guy who wasn't necessarily this bad guy, but it could have been who our protagonist was going to become. And I really got into it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did, but there was things in here that when I started digging deeper, there was a lot to uncover. And I can't wait to talk about this movie. What about you, huh?
Well, I will just say that I'm looking forward to a deep excavation of your thoughts. I'm very intrigued now, because you clearly, it triggered a lot of, sounds like, yeah, just good conversation pieces. So, also, I'm not sure your mic is on. Just throwing that out there while I share. But yeah, let me give some facts here about the movie before I even share sort of my thoughts and my reaction to it, my initial reaction. As I mentioned, the movie is set in South Korea, the what do you call it? The description of it is that a zombie virus breaks out in South Korea and passengers struggle to survive on the train from Seoul to Busan. Director is Sang Ho Yeon. Two writers, Ju-Suk Park and Sang Ho Yeon. And it stars Gong Yoo, Yang Ju-mi, and Ma Dong Seok. Forgive me if I butchered those. The film, let's see here. It had a budget of under $10 million. Tagline is Life or Death, Survival Begins. Not a lot of punctuation on that. So Life or Death, Survival Begins. Okay, that's how that reads. It was released on July 20th, 2016, and it went on to do pretty well. It grossed about $93 million worldwide to date, perhaps. Runtime just under 2 hours at an hour and 58 minutes. And the film has a 94% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, as well as an 89% audience score. So this one is fresh to death. No pun intended.
Fresh baby.
As for me, so yeah. Kevin knows it kind of took me a while to come around to watch this. I had heard of this movie only, you know, again, because I follow a lot of other film podcasts and film related content. So I've heard it come up on lists for horror movies, for zombie films, probably in particular, and even probably for foreign zombie films or even films of the 2010s. So I had heard about it, but never really much more than just what it was. I know when you asked me if I knew it, I pretty much said what I knew, which was, I think it's a Korean zombie movie or something like that. That's pretty much all I knew about it. So never got around to watching it until now. And I think there was that, there was various reasons, but eventually got around to watching it. I really liked it. I'm not sure how I feel about the ending. I think that'll be something interesting for us to discuss. Ultimately, and you know, as we delve into this topic, you know, we'll give our disclaimer. We always do spoilers, as we, you know, don't want any limitations as we discuss the film and wherever our conversation leads us. But, I want to say, like, personally, I would have liked the ending to have been different, but that's, I want to separate that because I'm not saying the ending was bad. It wasn't satisfying for me and what I expected. But again, we'll get into that. But I was impressed by how well produced it was. In some ways, the sheer size and scope of it. The acting was all pretty good. The CGI, I felt like for them was handled pretty well. The times where it was probably detectable, it wasn't egregious and it wasn't a distraction. I would say fairly seamless, how it was incorporated into the story. Also, one of the things that I found really interesting is just how much you don't know about this story, which I thought was an interesting choice. You should know that there was a prequel that came out shortly after the film. It's an animated prequel. I can't remember what that one is called.
But I think there was a sequel, and then there was... Oh, no, animated prequel film in 2016, yeah.
Yeah, the prequel came out, and then a few years later, a sequel came out, although the director said that it's not really a sequel, it's just another story, but it takes place in that same universe.
So the animated one was Soul Station.
Correct.
Yeah, S-E-O-U-L. And the
sequel's Peninsula.
Yeah.
But those I don't know about the animated one, but I know the sequel didn't do nearly as well. So yeah, those are, I think I'll stop there as far as my initial thoughts, and yeah, let you decide where we go next.
I will say, as we work, we'll get to the end, but I can tell you, I loved the end as we work there. So we're going to see it, the buildup, and then we'll talk about the end.
Okay.
What I liked about it is you mentioned that we didn't know much about what was going on. So we were almost as clueless as they were getting on this train. What I liked is the first time we saw that deer get hit, and it drives off. I remember one of my notes was like, oh, dang, that little zombie deer just popped up and started running again.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, like, it started creating like, oh, there's this creepy thing that's going to happen. I didn't realize they weren't going to know any. I thought they were going to be like fleeing from the zombies on the train, but they just get on the train and all of a sudden, like, it just starts, once they get on that train, it just starts picking up. And the main character, I'm only going to refer to him as the characters, like the dad.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot pronounce their names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dad, I think his character growth through it, like, you see all the things that impact him, where there's times where he was selfish, closing the door on people. Like, he didn't really connect with his daughter, even though he liked her, you know, her singing. He would miss things. But he was hurt when she wanted to go live with her mom, because the purpose of the story is it's a father who has to take his daughter to her mother's because they're separated, but she wants to go stay with her mom. And he's kind of hurt, but he's like,
and it's
right,
her birthday.
And it is her birthday. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. But he didn't really want to do it. And there is a little bit of selfishness in him in the beginning, because he just wanted her for himself. And he wanted, you know, all this. And I don't think he actually, at least what I gather, he's not very self-aware of the kind of person he is in the beginning.
No, and I think that you see that lack of self-awareness and, well, even just the lack of attention for his daughter and a certain aloofness there when he gives her her birthday present, which is a Nintendo Wii. Mm-hmm. And it's the same present that he had given her the year before, which, I mean, who does that? I don't know. I've never done that before.
Good times.
I have, for those that don't know. But, yeah, I liked, and the other thing, but he, I felt even at the beginning, or as we're, you know, slowly at the beginning, kind of peeling back, and I did feel like it was good character development in the film, even as the character is kind of, again, as we're peeling back layers and kind of discovering who this guy is, I felt like he was conflicted, and I think even as I bring in some of the other stuff that I'm reading and working through in my personal life, he wasn't living like his true self, you know. And I think you see that conflict, right? I guess one of the ways that I would illustrate that is when the daughter, he walks into her room and she's under the covers talking to her mom about how badly she wants to go see her. What she wants to do is to take the train by herself, right? And she's like 9 or 10 years old, maybe.
I want to believe she was 10.
So she wants to take the train by herself. He doesn't, he, for whatever, I think he has work, so he can't take her.
Hmm.
But that, again, that conflict with him and that paternal instinct is like, yeah, but you're not going on that train by yourself. Like, that's just not happening. Even though her mom thinks it's fine and the daughter thinks it's fine, the dad is like, no, that's not happening. And that's why he ends up taking her. So he's just not living who he knows as who he knows he's supposed to be, you know, for whatever has happened in his life to make him that way.
Yeah, because he does love his daughter.
Right.
It's just that he's a fund manager. He's trying to work with that. He's
Yeah.
trying to get those deals. And it's the confliction of like, well, I want to do good in this, but I do love you. So, hey, here's a we, you know what I mean? And I guess working through with the stuff I work with my dad, I'm like, he's trying to love her the best way he can, but without the self-awareness that, oh, maybe I need to do something different to love you the way you need to feel love.
Yeah, and I think that it's handled again really well with you know, obviously this relational dynamic, this unfolding of who these characters are slowly as we're seeing, you know, and again, what makes these things believable, you know, who he is as a father, who he is as a professional, all the things that he's going on, either it comes down to these details, you know, like even just his wardrobe, you know, and how his hair, you know, is like is it's so perfectly put together, his, you know, his clothes, even his shoes, I noticed like how nice they were. So it's all these things telling the story and painting this picture for us of who this character is and who these characters are in relation to each other. But I like that it's those little details. Like again, there's that fact that he doesn't want her to go on the train by herself, but also I think because at one point, his wife, when they're on the phone, I think she tells him, like, hey, it's her birthday. And he's like, yeah, I know it's her birthday. Like, I didn't forget it's my daughter's birthday. And I mean, I think I'm remembering this right, but it's not like he did forget and then he ran out last minute to get a present. Like, he had a present for her already and everything. I think that I'm remembering that correctly. So yeah, I don't think it's a question of him not loving his daughter. It's just he, you know, doesn't know how to be present, and yeah, he's for whatever reason so caught up with work, and probably because obviously his marriage didn't work out. So that's probably the one thing, right, that he thinks he can control subconsciously. But anyway, you had mentioned something else, which was,
Parent dynamic, him growing, the deeper meanings of
No,
being.
before that, you said talked about the deer. Oh, one thing I wasn't a huge fan of, right? Because when these people get on the train, they have no idea what's going on. They only find out, you know, while they're on there, and
Yeah,
it's
because
because
the
one
outbreak's happening, yeah.
yeah, and as the train is departing the station, you know, while no one sees it, one zombie just happens to make it on before the door closes. What I felt, and I don't know if this is, you know, again, a cultural thing where I know that, you know, some Asian cultures are just a little bit more reserved and maybe mask their emotions, or they're not as maybe expressive or even outspoken about certain feelings or reactions or emotions. But I felt like while I understood maybe there was confusion and even maybe even a lack of maybe like, we don't have time to think about this, we just have to survive. But I just felt like there needed to be a moment of like, all right, what's happening? What's going on? Let's talk about this. You know, like it was even frustrating at one point when the father, again, by that antagonist character, who I like the point that you made that, you know, this could have been almost a reflection of who the father was going to become. But it's this older, you know, COO, professional, businessman, very successful, who's on there, and he's all about staying alive, right? And at one point, the father and, you know, the five other people with him are trying to make it to that cart where other people are to join them. And in between, they have to cross some other carts. I think they're on cart number 9. They're trying to get to 13.
Yeah, I think it's 13, yeah.
And in between, you know, there's cars full of zombies. And at that point, as they're making their way, you know, this antagonist character is freaking out, and he's like, no, they're probably infected. Don't let them in. Well, at that point, I felt like I'm pretty sure they had seen people converting. What was very interesting, you know, about these zombies was how quickly they really turned, you know. And again, they move so quickly, and the movements of their body were so jarring. Like, there was no mistaking, you know, how quickly that happened. And then that's, you know, viewing it from my perspective, it was not hard, you know, the way they did it. It was not hard to detect if someone was a zombie and someone wasn't, or if someone was infected, because it happened so rapidly. So my point is just that, you know, he's making this accusation, you know, and again, there's many reasons why maybe the director felt that this was justified. But for me, I would have been like, hold on, how do you know? You know, or even just seeing them, it's like, look, they're seeing him through a clear door. Yeah. It's like, look, they're clearly not infected. Look at the people behind them that are infected. Mm-hmm. You know, so I felt like there was that and maybe a few other minor moments where that was just a little frustrating.
Well, that part like stuck out to me specifically for two reasons. One, I felt it mirrored what the father did earlier. Remember when the guy in the blue suit was running and he closed the door on him? He's like, what are you doing, man? And he did it because he didn't care if he was affected or not. It was a very selfish move. And I think it's reflected on, you're saying you wish there was like introspect. Oh, he could tell. I don't think he cared if they were infected or not. He just wanted the door closed so that these zombies wouldn't get to them.
Like, yeah, that's a fair point. I think you're right about that. But there were a lot of other people on that train, you know, and it was clear that this guy held some form of some level of authority or power over them. And this is where I guess someone made a comment, you know, about the subtle class differences. So maybe it's that, right, that he was like the elder at that point. And
yeah, he's like a businessman,
the authority figure that no one was willing to question. But I guess as an American watching that, it was frustrating, right? Because we don't, you know, here in the U.S., that's unlikely to happen. You know, people are very opinionated.
Yeah.
And so someone would have been like, hold on, let's think about this, you know, or why are you calling the shots, you know?
And even though I mentioned the blue suit guy, like how I said, I think the businessman was the guy that he could have became, I think it was like the mirror opposite was the blue suit guy who was going to be a father, and how much he was willing to risk for everybody, how much he was willing to sacrifice, which to me, like, as I'm thinking about it, like the dad was like, it was showing which path is he going to become. And at the beginning he was that businessman. And I think he starts morphing into, you know, the blue suit guy, you know, and caring more about family and actually thinking about other people as opposed to just what he wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good observation, and I think it fits really well. I hadn't really connected those dots. So, you touched upon just your own experience watching this as a father. Same for me. I mean, there were definitely moments because that was the central conflict of the film. You know, the zombie outbreak was really just the environment in which this story, you know, between a father and daughter, survival, but also just trying, you know, reconnecting and discovering, you know, their relationship. That was the real the real story in the heart of the film. So yeah, I was definitely watching this, and some of those moments were yeah, you just kind of put yourself in those shoes. Not even, you know, like the idea of like protecting your daughter, in this situation, but even just kind of like the conversations between them and what they're feeling, you know, her longing, you know, for her father, but rejecting, or, but also her feelings of abandonment, but sort of longing for him too, you know, as you discover that, and then his sort of awareness as it dawns on him, you know, seeing her reaction like, oh crap, I've really been messing up here. Different moments like that, you know, even just hit so hard that I was just thinking like, man, if I was watching this movie in 2016, you know, before I had my daughter, the things I felt would be so much different, which is crazy. And it was really unexpected. You know, I just wasn't expecting this movie. You know, I was expecting zombies and action and everything. I mean, it's a horror. I never really felt like I was watching a horror movie, but that emotional side to it was definitely surprising, but also, I guess, you know, it's one of the great things of the art form, right? That it kind of, it has that ability to speak to where you are in life.
Yeah. And I think also, even if I, like, I'm a father, if I saw it in 2016, I would have had a different appreciation for it than I did now. Cause you know, 2019, getting separated and divorced and having the girls all the time. And now I, like, I am their primary caregiver. I pour into them. You know what I mean? I think that's maybe why I was digging more deep into it as I was watching it. And it was hitting me harder because, like I said, it's just been me and them mostly. You know, she's around, but it's being in this position now where it's me and them. And I'm not saying that he was me. I'm like, ooh, that's me. But I could relate more to, not necessarily that I don't have that relationship with my daughters, but like, oh man, those were fears I had. Like, would I have this type of relationship with my daughter? You know, will I be able to recognize it and all this stuff? But it hits differently now that I've been with them, you know, on my own for the most part. You know, my mom helps and stuff, but on my own, providing for them, watching this movie. And again, you can't wonder, part of you wonders like, well, what, how would it be? What would I be sacrificing? And again, it leads up to the end and that sacrifice and all the things that go through your head when you have to make the, you know, an ultimate sacrifice for your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you, I think, mentioned that you really enjoyed, if I'm remembering that correctly, but I think you said you liked the component of not getting a lot of answers, and not really knowing.
I did, because, and this is something from even, let's say, The Walking Dead, when I read the comics before, and I would read something about, you know, what the author said, Robert Kirkman. He said, like, those answers aren't important. You know what I mean? What's important is what's going on between the characters in the situation. So the zombies, like, yeah, it would have been cool, like, but like, how are they, like, rationally going to figure out, like, tell the story of where these zombies, what happened, without taking us away from the father and daughter, you know, story that they're trying to take. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, it doesn't matter. Like, it just is. It happens. And yes, you have to suspend a little bit of belief that, like, okay, maybe these people never seen zombie movies. But if you're so focused on getting those answers, you're missing out on this story of a father and daughter and the growth and sacrifice that happens. So, and again, that's why I may not have, I'm not going to say I enjoyed it, but I was okay with, you know, I didn't care at the end because of the way it ends. Like, it wasn't a, oh, I wonder where those zombies came from. Didn't even cross my mind.
It definitely crossed my mind. I think as I listen to you, I feel like that's a pretty risky move, a pretty risky, a gamble, you know, by, you know, the producers and the director and the writer. I think what I said is true, you know, which I think you just reiterated, you know, that it's really a story about the father and the daughter and their relationship. And we're just seeing it play out in the middle of a zombie outbreak. But
And it's a gamble that only pays off if your main story is strong enough to carry it.
yeah,
Be
and it
because if that,
was.
yeah, because if the story
Yeah.
and the acting was weak, then we would have been like, well, I would have wanted to know more about the zombies.
Yeah, well, I mean, the acting was good. The little girl was really good. Yeah, no complaints there, about any of the performances.
I will say, I thought that the homeless guy, I was like, this dude's invincible. He just kept popping back up.
But yeah, I think for me, it just is kind of, I think there's a part of me that kind of feels like deceived a little bit, you know, because this movie has a lot. Well, it has a few elements, right, of sort of some of the other zombie movies that we're more accustomed to. Obviously, crazy zombies all over the place, but also it also was almost pretty close to being like an ensemble piece, you know, where they had some strong sort of support characters, right? You had the one couple with the who were expecting a child. You had the two old ladies that were like sisters. Like you mentioned, the homeless man. You have the baseball player and his girlfriend.
The college kids, yeah, and their
Yeah,
friends.
and they were like, I mean, they were present for like 60, 70, you know, some of them percent of the movie. Some of them longer, but yeah, so as I'm watching it, you know, I'm expecting all the pieces to kind of fall into place and to be told, you know, what's going on, what's happening. Almost like, I guess I was expecting more World War Z, you know, and this was not that, you know, it had enough of those elements to still be a very satisfying zombie film, but I guess it was just not that. It was different because of that central storyline, and I think that speaks to, you know, the ending and what I felt, which was, even though I understood it, even though it made sense and I could even appreciate it, I think in some ways it just left me sort of unsatisfied. I think, and again, this is it could be viewed as a very pompous critique, you know, because there, I and I don't want to critique because it was a very good movie, but I and there's talks of an American remake, but I would have liked to have seen. I think that there's a way, and maybe there wasn't. Maybe it would have taken away too much from that dynamic of the father and daughter. But I think you could have shared a little bit more, exposed a little bit more, you know, opened up the world even of the movie a little bit more, and still at least attempted to still have it a narrow focus on that relationship.
Like, to me, the only way at like even when you were talking, the only way I could like see that they could have without distracting is like when they were in the train station, even on the train, like if there was news reports like in the background saying, you know, this outbreak started here, but oh, this was the first time they're like interviewing people, but it's like in the background, not the main focus. You know what I mean? Maybe some of that could, but again, I think those are like minor quibbles because I do think it builds to the end. And again, if you see a lot of Korean movies, like they subvert endings. You know what I mean? People you think are gonna live. Like, I don't know if you ever seen the Korean Old Boy, the original. Like at the end, when you're like, oh wow, you thought he was getting revenge, but no, this other guy was getting revenge, and now he cuts out his own tongue, and you're like, what just happened? You know what I mean? It's but they earn it, and it's powerful. And I do think, like, when you were saying there was such a strong ensemble cast, when they started dying off, I was, in my head, I was like, oh, the dad and the girl are going to be the survivors. You know what I mean? And they're gonna mm-hmm. make it to the end. Yeah. So when everyone started dying, and even at the end, it was like the dad, like the pregnant lady and the kid. And I was like, oh, man, they're going to kill this pregnant lady off. So even when, again, on that last train scene and all that happens and he gets bit, you're like, wow, okay. I wish the dad was, sure. But when he ends up getting bit, he tells her, no, you have to go without me. And he's just remembering everything, you know, about his daughter. And as opposed to what the businessman said, was like, no, no, I want to live. Just get, and he kept trying to live even though he was turning into a zombie. He was like, no, I could try, but it's not going to work. I can't fight this. And he sacrifices himself so his daughter can survive. Like, to me, was very powerful. And he wasn't thinking about, like, you see how much of a shift it was from the beginning, where he wasn't thinking about fund management or making money. He was just thinking about holding his beautiful little daughter when she was born and playing with her and everything. And all those memories are, and I think it speaks to the audience, that's what you will hold on to at the end of your life. You're not going to hold on to, you know, did you save an extra $20? Did you make an extra buck or two? You know what I mean? These are the things that matter. And to him, what mattered was his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, while I'm not saying I was thrilled with it, like, I actually liked it because I wasn't expecting the dad to die.
Yeah, well, and that's same. And I think that's, again, I think one of the cool, interesting, fascinating cultural differences, you know, that now us who are, you know, I don't know, 90% of the movies we watch, you know, are Hollywood or just
kind of a formula
American produced, you know. So now we, regardless of the genre or whatever, we are just so accustomed to a happy ending, you know, for more or less, right? In most of the films, right? And I have noticed, you know, from the movies that we watch, especially Korean movies or some of these others, is that it doesn't seem like they always have that same expectation, you know. It almost feels like they embrace, you know, something maybe a little bit dark, morose, or, you know, realistic, or, you know, something a little blue, you know, or somber. That I'm sure that not every movie is like that, but it just seems like they're, you know, again, I watched this movie and immediately it sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, I wasn't expecting the father to die. The ending didn't leave me with this kind of good feeling inside, like, oh, it's all going to be great, you know, or they made it and now things are going to be okay. You know, I was still just like, you know, I didn't have that itch kind of scratched, you know, that I'm used to. But in other cultures, it's, you know, that for that may just, it seems to me, especially with some of, you know, this culture, that they're more embracing, it provides them, you know, it scratches their own itch, you know, that's just different than mine.
And I also think what it shows is, like, it brings me back to the first Rocky. And I think I heard Quentin Tarantino talk about it, how why Rocky was so different when it came out was we're used to seeing the guy triumph, win, become a champion. And when the first Rocky comes out, he goes, and you see towards the end, his goal isn't to win the belt anymore. He's like, I can't beat him, but I won't go down. So he still achieves his victory by not getting knocked out, but he doesn't win the belt. And that was the beauty of it, because comparing it to this movie, it's his goal was to save his daughter. So at the end of the, even though he sacrificed himself, his daughter is saved and she gets to go on and live her life. And I think that's something that stuck out to me. Even while you were talking about the culture, whatever, I'm like, it's so more impactful that, again, maybe as American audience, we're used to, no, this is what victory, this is what winning is. And it's a little bit different because you don't have to win by actually getting exactly what you want. There's other ways to quote unquote win, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, to be fair, it's not to say that, I mean, the movie doesn't answer questions, but it does provide some hints. Like, I mean, there's a conversation when he's on the phone, we don't know with who. There's several people that he talks to. At one point, he talks to someone that is either in government or in the military, you know, that he thinks will be able to provide him and his daughter some safety at some point. That doesn't happen. But then he's having a conversation with someone that seems to be from his company or a business related person. And there's an insinuation, right? Or there's a comment made. There's a hint at this being something that he might have even had a hand in, some investment or some, you know, again,
some company that they were investing in.
Yeah. That may have been. There's a cat back there.
Yeah, it's Sephora.
Okay. So yeah, and I'm trying to remember if there was anything else that we kind of learn or discover. But I will say, I don't know if you remember this, but I have said that, you know, I kind of fantasize about like zombie apocalypse, you know, and how well would I fare and like survive and all that. These zombies were no joke, and it wasn't necessarily that. One of them individually, I mean, they were kind of fast and obviously just relentless. But they weren't, you know, they're still zombies. Like you can defeat one, right? Or a few, but the how quickly they changed and then just the sheer, you know, volume of them. There were some really cool shots, you know, where you kind of see that, you know, as they're just spilling out of a window or a door, you know.
The scene when they make it to the train station, the first train station, they think they're safe and they're going to find the military. Uh-huh. And then the military guy turns around, you're like, oh, they're all zombies, man. Yeah. And they got to start running back. And even when they get on there and they're just jumping on the train trying to hold on, you're like, holy crud.
Yeah, that was the scene I was about to mention when they're trying to take off on this train and then the zombies are right behind them and they manage to grab onto, you know, a bar or a handle, and then they're just like linking up, you know, and then it's just a pile, you know, because there's so many that I thought at one point they were just going to start climbing on each other and making it on there, but he started kicking their hands and was able to pry them off.
Well, then they went through that tunnel and it knocked the other ones off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, oof.
Yeah. But yeah, and I liked also when it is kind of, something that I'm also sort of accustomed to is, you know, sometimes horror movies outside of gore and jump scares, you know, other things are like cheesy and not always, cheesy. So I kind of was expecting that once we started to meet like the other people in the ensemble, like the couple, you know, with the pregnant wife, and they're kind of just there at times in other movies, you know, just to be like to provide some humor or to like, you know, be silly and ridiculous and, you know, or just to be like over the top or even annoying or be someone that you're frustrated with. They're not really like actual, three dimensional people, you know, characters. And in this one, they pretty much all were. So I really liked the way that they all contributed. They all added something to the story, and more or less were all kind of fleshed out, to where you could, relate, understand the dynamics, even understand where each of these, various supporting characters were coming from.
And it added weight to when they died. It wasn't just like, oh, they're dead. You know what I mean? Like Blue Suit died. No, like, man, he has a wife and a baby. You know what I mean? Like I said, the only one that did it, you were just waiting for that business guy to get killed. Because he was pretty bastardly.
He definitely he stuck around a lot longer than I thought he was gonna be.
Like even when you were mentioning other characters, like when they're in the bathroom, he tells the guy, "No, it's clear, go out." So the zombies can attack him and he can run. I was like, oof.
Very shady.
Oh, and I did an aspect that just popped into my mind. Like even the small thoughts that they did, like when they would go through the tunnels, when they were fighting all the zombies, they go through the tunnels, the zombies couldn't even see them. You know what I mean? Like they didn't have that rational, so they would throw something and then they would be able to get a little bit further and then they would hit, light. I thought that was really well done because it was just something they thought about. Like I wouldn't have thought about putting that in during that fight scene. And I just thought, like you said, those little things added to the movie.
And again, I don't know why I think or feel this way, if I'm inserting myself into the story, kind of thinking, what would I do or whatever, which is, kind of a crazy exercise. But yeah, that was a discovery that I expected to unfold more. And it was never even really spoken about the fact that for whatever reason, in the dark, the zombies had a harder time detecting people who weren't zombies, right? Clearly, in the tunnels, when it got dark, I mean, they still had to be quiet because I guess at that point the sound would trigger them, but they couldn't see. So that was another thing that was frustrating. It was like even when he was. When the dad was with his little four or five group, or even when maybe they joined up with more people, why didn't anyone say, "Hey, we just noticed this, so maybe we have other options besides, just running away. Let's tell they had a line to the conductor. Why don't we try to see if he can stop and break inside a tunnel, and then we can methodically try to take these zombies out. One by one or something like that. So again, it's their story. They told it the way they wanted to. That's fine. I'm not knocking it,
Juan's writing the sequel, Park Train to Busan.
but yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, I just feel like it was missed opportunities, I guess, for other interesting things that could have happened.
We could have, but like I said, it's again, when you're writing a story, you pick which way and then you gotta go that way. Which is
But
it is intriguing that it could have been like, hey, let's tell them to stop in here and we can start taking them out. But again, maybe that just to them, that's not the again, it their narrative was building towards their
then
end.
what's frustrating is then just but then just don't show that if you're not gonna do anything with it or whatever. Maybe there's a sequel where it's like, okay, they're figuring out how to defeat them or whatever. But in this point, to kind of show that and tease it. And then nothing happens with it. That's a little frustrating.
Like I did think the end was going to be like nightfall when they got to Busan, and then they're going to be in the dark, and then it was going to be more they were sneaking around trying to get through all the zombies, but that was not it.
Trying to see if I have anything else on this. I mean, the movie was fairly, straightforward. There's some hiccups here or there, as they're making their way, but They're just trying to survive, get to their destination, figure things out. And that's pretty much how it plays out. Again, the ending, yeah, I definitely wanted the dad to live, and to kind of he definitely, got his redemptive moment. It just came, at the moment of his death, pretty much.
And I think
And
what it is, if he would have lived, we would have been like, okay, it was okay, it was fine, it's straightforward movie, and they made it, and like you said, it sticks out a little bit to you because he didn't live. You know what I mean? Because it leaves you with that moment of you're just there, you're like, oh wow, he died.
yeah, I think too, it's also like a side effect, or a consequence of what like Hollywood has become, with these big franchises, with this intellectual property, right? That it seems like every movie is like has to somehow be set up for seamlessly for like the sequel,
Yeah.
whether the sequel ever happens or not. And again, there's elements that could be derived from this to make a sequel, and clearly they did, so to a degree. But I don't think that's necessarily the way. I mean, I know that that's definitely not the way that other film industries operate, with that same pattern. So because I've become accustomed to that, I guess there's just an expectation, right? That the dad being the protagonist is gonna survive, so that if there's a sequel, it's like him and his daughter, or something like that. But yeah, I guess you can kind of, if you can, stomach that and not let the expectation that you had kind of ruin the experience for you, I think that you can appreciate a film in an industry that doesn't have to succumb to those audience or even, production company wanting to continue to just suck that teat dry, of that intellectual property, with setting up sequel after sequel. Like, it's just, this is the story you wanted to tell, it's really Ricky Gervais, UK office, style, right? It was short.
Because even when you mentioned, I think like the most disappointing movies is we've seen some movies where like they did end and you're like, wow, that's really good. And then there's a sequel and somehow miraculously they bring back one of the characters. And you're like, hey, I mean, it was good that he died in the last movie. How'd he live? I mean, I think Kingsman brings to mind and some other stuff where you're like, hey, it was good. Now they have to do some acrobatic and disbelief, suspend belief to bring somebody back. When you're like that wasn't necessary. You could have just told a story moving forward if you wanted to, or just leave the movie alone. Like there's a Korean movie that I love called Friend. Like I need to buy it again because I don't know who I lent it to, but you should watch it. Like it's a movie where you don't know how it's gonna end, and even at the end, you're just like, wow, what just happened? And it's like a Korean gangster type movie.
Oh, okay.
Phenomenal. So if anyone out there gets it's Friend, and it's just a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, you don't have to talk into that mic because I don't think that's
Oh,
picking you up, bro. I don't think
I don't
that's
know what
working.
happened. Here we go.
But I appreciate the effort. But yeah, I don't, again, I'm trying to think anything that stuck out, but that's kind of said my piece.
Well, I guess that's all we got to say on this, except that's my zombie growl.
Okay.
Sorry, do you got any happy fun facts for us today?
Yeah. I
All
have
right.
fun facts, and I hope they make you happy.
facts with Juan.
I would like to say, before I read these fun facts, I just want to thank the users of IMDb that added these. I have not verified them. If anyone wants to do that work, go ahead. But this is what I have. Train to Busan is the sixth highest grossing domestic film of all time in South Korea. Do you want to know what number one is, Kevin?
In South Korea?
Yeah.
Is it a Korean movie?
I don't know. I was going to say, I want to know too. Maybe you want to look it up.
Oh, I thought you knew. I thought you were going to tell me.
Oh, I don't know. I did not look that up. I looked these up last minute. But yeah, sixth highest grossing domestic film of all time in South Korea. The next one is that Edgar Wright, I guess, after watching this film, tweeted and called it the best movie zombie I've seen in forever. Whatever that means, in forever. But I will take this opportunity to say that Edgar Wright has written and directed film Shaun of the Dead is my favorite zombie movie. Okay. And I don't think there's any movie quite like it that's even come close.
So Juan, I have the answer for the question earlier.
Yeah.
But a little caveat, I don't know when the IMDb wrote that. Train to Busan is now the 15th highest grossing movie.
And, yikes.
Yeah, so there's a lot that have come out since then. Which I don't know, I'm looking. Yeah, but number one is The Admiral Roaring Currents.
Okay.
It's interesting.
I feel slightly embarrassed.
No need, no need. We learn, we move on.
Sohee, who plays the character Jinhee, is an ex-member of the famous K-pop group Wonder Girls.
Really?
Not famous enough, because I've never heard of them. Although I'm not up on my K-pop history. Okay. Next up, the animated prequel, Soul Station, by the same director, was released less than a month after Train to Busan was released.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, before you continue, I got one more thing for you, by the way.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt. So, that was, what I read to you was just the domestic gross.
Yeah.
When you include worldwide thing, Train to Busan is number six. With number one being Parasite.
Oh, okay. Parasite's a great movie.
Yeah, so I was like...
Wait, okay. Is Old Boy on that list?
No, actually it's not. But it did more business on DVD when it came out on Blu-ray than it did in theaters. Because back then, it was like mid-2000s. They weren't releasing a lot of Korean in theater over here.
Maybe that mic was working.
It was just,
that's
better.
There you go. That's better.
You son of a.
Got him. All right. Again, this other one, I think is probably, well, no, that one wasn't outdated. It is number six. It was just missing a detail. But on 7 August, I don't know what that means.
August 7th.
Okay. I get it. On August 7th, the film set a record as the first film of 2016. That doesn't seem that impressive. To break the audience record of over 10 million theater goers. This is a fascinating. I have so many questions about this factoid.
Okay.
The film set a record as the first Korean film of 2016. So,
in 2016.
Okay, they probably meant to break the audience record of over 10 million theater goers.
So it's not $10 million, it's 10 million tickets sold.
Yeah. So it made a lot more than that on August 7th.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not the first Zombies on a Train film. Horror Express from 1972 tackled a similar subject 44 years earlier, albeit less frenetically. 1972 Horror Express.
I say what?
Originally, originally when the movie came out, such a huge hit, immediately, people were clamoring and talks resumed about a sequel, which the director seemed to be adamantly opposed to. Of course, he changed his mind and 3 years later started work on Peninsula, which came out in 2020. I actually was talking to a South Korean student at the university that I work at, and she said, "Don't watch the sequel." Those are her words. So, sounds like
when I was doing my light research into it, that's what everyone said. They're like, it was not very well looked upon because it just rehashes a lot of things. There was nothing innovative. It was just blah.
So now I'm curious if it's another father and daughter.
Oh, that is interesting. Because basically all it is just another story set in like this world. But yeah. I did hear a lot of good stuff about the prequel. They said the prequel actually hit new themes and new thoughts.
Well, and the prequel I actually am interested in because it's animated. So kind of seeing this universe through that medium is enticing. And that's it for fun facts.
Oh, you didn't mention the American one is supposedly called like Train to New York or something.
Train to New York, yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. But who knows? Well, I think that's actually shot already, and then it said it got pushed back because of the release of Evil Dead Rise. I think the studio like prioritized that one or something. But I think it's like in the can, perhaps.
As they say.
Or maybe it was the production that got stopped. I don't know.
But I did hear they're working out. Do we know who's in it or no?
No, I don't.
That'll be something good to look up later.
Yeah, actually, let me see. It said, in December 2021, the film's official title was revealed to be The Last Train to New York, scheduled to be released April 2023. However, in July 22... Warner Brothers removed the film off the release schedule with Evil Dead Rise, another New Line Cinema film, taking its original release date. So yeah, it's in the can.
All right, so we're just waiting for the release.
Yeah.
And now that there's the strikes, maybe we'll be getting it.
Interesting, man. There's no link to it, but I wonder who's in it. Who directed it? Very curious. We may never know.
Hold up. I'm on. Oh, no. Apparently I didn't type it right.
Okay. Well, and, right. Huh?
No, what were you going to say?
Edgar Wright's full tweet from November 4th of 2016 was, "Best zombie movie I've seen in forever. A total crowd pleaser. Highly recommend. Go see Train to Busan." That's nice.
You know what?
Is a glowing review.
Who am I to disagree with him?
Oh, James Wan, I think, is produced the remake.
The remake?
James Wan.
I do see director Timo Tijanjanto. I don't know who that dude is. Gary Dauberman was the writer.
All right, so let's go to the ratings. If you are new to the show, we do a Little Jerry's scale of 1 to 5, 1 being absolute trash, 5 being an absolute winner. Kevin, since this was your pick, you get to go first.
All right, so what can I say about this movie that we haven't said? It was, I'm not a fan of horror movies. I didn't find this to be very horror-y. I found it to be a very good movie. It's a movie that Ava watched part most of it with me. She was really into it. I like the fact there wasn't any gratuitous like skin being shown or sex stuff. It was just a story about a father and a daughter and them reconnecting and sacrifice. I will suggest this to anybody who asks, oh, what movie should I watch? Watch Train to Busan. You'll like it. And it's not a perfect movie. We did talk about some minor quibbles, but I think I'd give it a 4.5.
Mm. Okay. Pretty high marks. Speaking of Mark, we miss you, big guy.
He would have loved, he probably saw this movie, but he would have loved it.
Yeah. He probably saw it. Okay, good. 4.5 for Kevin, for me. Again, yeah, there's a lot to like about this movie. I was pleasantly surprised. I watched it in two sittings, the first two viewings. The first time, it was late. I was very tired. So I stopped probably just before halfway. But the next day at work, I was like, man, I can't wait to finish that because I was really into it. Yeah, I mean, as far as a zombie movie, if you want to see zombies eating people, getting killed in all sorts of creative ways, and just attacking in crazy numbers, you won't be disappointed. And then you might be pleasantly surprised by the heart at the center of the film. I think, again, I was very pleased with it, but I will knock it just a little bit for, again, I don't say that I hate the ending or that the ending didn't work or anything like that. It just, it didn't really fill the void that it created with just this nicely wrapped, kind of packaged, tender little ending. So there's that. And then, yeah, there's just some other opportunities there. Again, why tease us with some of these details if you're not going to satisfy us with a little bit more of it? So I'll knock it a little bit for that, but definitely a great movie. I would recommend it. And yeah, I might even watch it again at some point. Very well done. For me, it's a 4 out of 5.
Fair enough. It's funny. Like, I felt like your review was come for the zombie murders, stay for the story.
Yeah, perhaps. What's your favorite zombie movie?
Like, when you said what yours was, I was like, what is my favorite? I don't know if I have a favorite zombie movie. I haven't seen that many zombie movies. This is probably up there.
Like, World War Z is another good one.
Like, I don't think I've ever finished World War Z.
Oh, that's good.
I watched part of it, and I was like, meh. Yeah, Shaun of the Dead, I like. I'm not as enamored with as everyone else is. It's not my favorite movie of his, but mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm gonna say this one's my favorite for right now, and then when we get off, I'm gonna be like, no, I remember my favorite.
What's that Will Smith one? Are those considered zombies?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. Yeah, were those zombies?
I guess so. If we consider these zombies, they're not your typical zombies, but it's an outbreak that possesses people.
I don't remember if the I Am Legend ones were like dead. Come back to life, yeah, as much as they were just like people that were infected.
True, I guess. Yeah, because they didn't come back to life. Oh, I know what my favorite zombie movie is now.
There it is. I was just buying you time, big guy.
I had to type it in, And at first, it was like, I was like, oh, 28 Days Later was good, but no, Zombieland's my favorite zombie movie.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I topped in zombie movies. I'm like, oh yeah, that's that would sit at number one.
Okay, that is one that I would say comes close to Shaun of the Dead.
Sean?
Shaun of the Dead's still better, but that one is good and really funny. I know there's other comedy zombie movies, including one with, I think, with Nicholas Holt.
Warm Bodies, yeah.
Yeah.
I
So
guess
there's other ones.
the Resident Evil movies are okay, even
Yeah.
though they get a little repetitive.
I do like that other 28 Days Later is also really good. I don't think I ever saw 28 Weeks Later, but I have seen 28 Days Later. That's really good. There was one that I did never watched, but I was interested in. I'm pretty sure it was zombies and like they were Nazis. I can't remember. It's not that old. Maybe 5 years. I can't remember the title. But I want to say maybe Eli Roth was involved with that one.
Probably. I see one called Dead Snow.
No.
No, none of these are would be it. There's like army, wait, angry Nazi zombies, but that's not it.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Well, good stuff. Good choice. Next time it'll be my pick. I do want to announce that probably, I don't know how many shows we have left, but we're gonna take a pause. We're going to finish out season two. Just a few episodes left. We'll take a little bit of a hiatus. Maybe watch some movies in between, and whatever. Maybe we'll be able to lure Mark back into joining us. But yeah, we'll finish out season two. We'll try to finish out really strong, and then we'll take a little break and come back even stronger, season three. Oh, and in announcing that, I do want to say, anyone, this would be a perfect time to reach out, right? Look at the description of the episode. There's different ways there that you can connect with us. You can comment on our Instagram. You can tweet us. You can even send us an email. But we'd love to hear some suggestions. There's different things that we've tried this season. There's our 5-on-5 episodes. There's our trailer reactions. So there's different things we're trying, and hopefully during this break, we'll be able to think of some more ideas. But if you have suggestions for, a topic you'd like us to discuss, movies that you want us to review, themes that you'd like us, to take on in season three, this is a great opportunity to do that. We want to give, the people what they want. So, don't be the silent majority. Tell us, vocalize your suggestions to us.
Your voices will be heard and taken into account.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll still have a few more episodes left in this season, and so please look forward to that. It'll be my pick next. And then I think maybe Kevin has one more. I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but we'll figure it out.
Right, I guess that's it.
Sounds good.
Another happy landing, as they say.
Another happy ending? What are you
Oh,
saying?
I wish, but let's, yeah, have a great night.
Happy landing. All right. All right, yeah. Later, haters.